We're studying Nehemiah. We know that Nehemiah prayed an awesome prayer, one of the best prayers that you'll probably ever read in the Bible, in the first chapter of Nehemiah. And we understand he prayed that prayer because the people were under the what? Wagging finger. The enemy was wagging its finger at the people of God because the people of God had rebelled and they had become a reproach. And whenever we rebel and we sin and we become a reproach, the devil takes advantage of that and goes before God and says, "See, those people of yours that are waving their hands in worship and they're up there singing and they're praying and they're praising and all that stuff, look what they're doing in their spare time." And so the devil loves to do that. So what do we have to do? We become people who are going after the heart of God, and we begin to transform and renew our minds so that we can get what God has placed on the inside of us in His Spirit by the Holy Spirit to what? The outside, our hands and our feet. So that what we have and He's given us as a gift that nothing can take away from you gets to the outside of us. And we begin to act like what we believe. And that process is what we're going through here with Nehemiah. Nehemiah says, "God, it's been long enough. Our people have been under the reproach for too long. They're in a shambles. The walls are broken down. The gates are burnt out. And we need your help to get it back." It's kind of like what Les said up here. It's like, "I was way over to the left. But God, your hand reached over and grabbed me because I had that foundation. I had that mom and grandmom and everybody else who told me that, God, you were good and that you would never leave me or forsake me." And those things probably came up in his spirit and he got convicted and God just whoosh, took him in, and now he's one of our lead praise and worshipers. So no matter where you are, God can do it in your life. This is what Nehemiah is all about, the restoration process, the reconciliation process, placing you from a place of reproach and putting you into your place of ministry, or putting you into a place of intercession where you can be someone else's strength. That's Nehemiah, and that's where we pick up. Father, I pray as we are in chapter 2 now of Nehemiah, that the Lord, you would just put words in my mouth that would be able to declare your heart for your people here today in this room, God. Not just back then with the people of Israel, but with the people of Israel today, spiritual Jews. The wild olive branch grafted into the natural branches, the two becoming one. That's what we want today, Father. Your heart, Old Testament and New Testament, the truth about who we are in Christ. In Jesus' name. Okay, last week we saw that God answered Nehemiah's prayer by providing everything that he needed to succeed. Isn't that the greatest kind of an answer to prayer you can get? Where God just says, "You know what? I heard your prayer, Teresa. I'm going to provide everything you need to get that ministry or that job done or that task done because I've heard your heart." And that's what Nehemiah did. So the first aspect of God's provision was what? We studied it last week. Anybody remember? It was placing a burden or a fire in Nehemiah's heart for what he wanted accomplished. Before you can pick up a task for God, you got to get it burning in your soul. You got to get it burning in your spirit. It has to become a burden, or you're just going to put it on the back shelf and probably never get to it. Or you might get to it, but you can't treat the things of God casually. You got to have a burden or a fire. And see, that's what God puts in you. When he wants you to do something, you're going to have that burning desire, that burden inside of you. And that's a blessing. That's one of God's provisions for you so that you can get the job done and you don't just nonchalantly go about your business, and God doesn't do anything nonchalantly. You got to dot your I's and cross your T's, and he told Moses, "You build the tabernacle this way, and until it's done exactly the way I told it, my glory won't come down and descend upon it." But when Moses did everything God told him to do, what happened? The glory of God came down on that tabernacle and it filled that place. They couldn't even stand. That's what we want here. We want the glory of God to take over in worship and what we do here, that all of a sudden we experience what Moses experienced, where the glory of God comes down, it gets so thick, it becomes the kavod, it's called in Hebrew. It's the heaviness. It becomes a weight that just puts you down almost to the point where you're on your face. And God's love and God's provision and God's glory and conviction of sin and all of what heaven can do in a man and a woman and a child will happen without me preaching and without them singing. We want God, forget all this. We want you. We need you. You're the that's going to change our circumstances like he did for Les and all the other testimonies you heard. Man can't do that. But we can intercede on another man's behalf. We can intercede ourselves. And what happens is when God begins to answer, then you get that burden and the fire in your heart to come up with a plan to get it rectified. Because God is not dropping pennies from heaven. He's using the church. He's using people. He's using his resources, those who love him, to meet the needs and to get done here on earth as it what is in heaven. And he'll even use angels to help you when you get stuck. So the first aspect of provision was what? Putting a burden or fire in your heart. The second step of provision today we're talking about is in bringing him, again, bringing us his blessing. The word for blessing in the Bible is benefits. It's another word. How do we receive God's benefits? It's like going to work and you get a salary. But what else do you get besides a salary if you have a really, really good job? You get benefits. Well, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you get your ticket to heaven, that's not all you get. Salvation encompasses more than just your ticket to the sweet by and by. There's healing. There's deliverance. There's provision. There's all of those things that God says, you're my child, I'm the King of Kings, I own a cattle in 1,000 hills. There's nothing that I can't do for my people. Why do you limit me? Why do you wait for the bus to come and take you to heaven, and when you get there, what'd you do with the one coin I gave you? Well, I buried it because I feared you, God, and I didn't want to do anything with it. Well, if he's given you a talent, don't bury it, use it. Multiply it. Be used of God so that when you get to heaven, you'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Come, enter into what I've prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Because he's known you before you even got here. And when you accepted his call and you follow that call, oh man, the benefits that you're going to receive. And you may not get them all here while you're on this planet because you're an eternal being. We think that we need to get all of God's benefit while we're walking in this sark sack. It's a bag of flesh. It's going back to the dirt. You're not taking it with you. It's your spirit that's going to be with God. So if you don't receive all of his benefits right in the here and now at this moment, understand that you're a king's kid. You're going to live forever, and you're going to get them all eventually. But don't demand them all right this second, because God may be using you in a different way that you can't understand, because we don't have the same mind of God. We do have the mind of Christ, but we don't know all the mysteries yet. We've not come and arrived in a place where all knowledge and the encompassing all in all is with us. It'll happen one day. We know in part, the Bible says. We know in part today, but one day we will know in full. God's provision of blessing, his benefits, is the second provision. You get a burden in your heart. Once you get God's heart on the matter, he then says, now I'm going to give you my blessings. Let's look at it. Nehemiah 2, 4 through 9. Then the king said to me, now remember, this is Nehemiah going before the earthly king Artaxerxes. He was the cupbearer to the king. He needed favor. He's acting on God's behalf, and God's acting through the king, and God's acting through you and me. He's acting through the whole world. He's in control, folks. Can you say amen? If you haven't noticed it before, God is in control of everything. Always and forever. We forget that sometimes. We think that happenstance happens. You know, oh, that just, well, wow, I can't believe that just happened. I talked to my sister this weekend, and I told her, I gave her a praise report about Teresa and going through, and we prayed in the OR, and we prayed. She was having all these heart symptoms, and they were aching jaw, going down the thing, heart pain, and we prayed. She comes out of the thing, he says, you got a perfect heart, and she hasn't had a symptom since. And what was her response? Oh, gee, wow, that's unbelievable. No, it's not unbelievable. It happened because it was believable. So don't say when you hear a praise report, wow, that was incredible, unbelievable. Well, you might say incredible. That was awesome what God did. We've got to get in that mindset and get out of the other. The king said to me, King Artaxerxes says to me, what would you request? Remember, he came before the king. The king saw his burden that God put in his heart, the fire in his heart. The king saw it. So I prayed to the God of heaven. So Nehemiah says, okay, the king just asked me, God, what am I supposed to do with this king? How am I going to get your favor? I said to the king, if it please the king, and if your servant has found favor before you. Now remember, he prayed before he said this stuff. What does that tell us? Pause before you ask. Wait before you pray sometimes. Now sometimes you're called for a popcorn prayer. You need an emergency prayer in an emergency situation. But most of the time we have time to think about it. To paga, to pray that what? That arrow to the center of the target kind of prayer. That takes study, that takes thinking. God's heart, what do you want to do in this matter, God? So if it pleased the king and if your servants found favor, send me to Judah. He knew they were under reproach. To the city of my father's tombs that I may what? Rebuild it. Nehemiah had such a heart for the people, he didn't want to see him stay that way. Then the king said to me, the queen, here we go. Then the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, how long will your journey be? And when will you return? In other words, he says, I got the queen sitting next to me, and I want to know when you're coming back. Because if you're leaving me alone with the queen. No, I'm just kidding. I made that up. We love being with our queens. But sometimes we need that third party to come on in, you know, kind of come into the conversation. How long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me. And I gave him a definite time. And I said to the king, if it please the king, this is an also, let letters be given to me for the governors of the princes beyond the river. That they, so first of all, he was sent, right? Now he's getting letters that they may allow me to pass through until I come to Judah. In other words, I need uncommon favor with man. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest. So now he's saying, and a third thing, there's a third provision I need from you in this blessing. There's three blessings I need from you. I need to be sent, I need to have certification, or I need to have these letters, and I need a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me the timber, in other words, the provision, right, the supplies necessary to make beams for the gates of the fortress, which is by the temple, for the wall and the city, and the house to which I will go. And the king granted them to me because the good hand of my God was on me. So Nehemiah is saying, look, I need these three things. I need to be sent. I need to be certified with letters. And I need to be supplied. Because if I'm not sent by you and I don't have uncommon favor with man and you don't give me what I need, this job will not get done. The ministry that you've put a burden in my heart for won't happen because I can't do this in my own strength. So God's provisional blessing or benefit is stated in that, just that. Nehemiah's commission, sent, certified, and supplied. So through, now remember how God did this. Through the earthly King Artaxerxes, God sends Nehemiah to Jerusalem. Now, this is what's really incredible. The Hebrew word translated sent is sheliach. In the Hebrew, the word sent is sheliach. The Greek equivalent of that word is the word apostello. Apostolic, apostello. Think about it. This is very important for today's pastors especially. Apostello is the word in the Greek. Its noun form is translated apostle, meaning one sent, one commissioned, one authorized, a representative of someone greater. That's what apostles are. Well, there's no more apostles today, Pastor. They passed away in the early church. Really? Being commissioned and being authorized by God, by a higher power, being sent out to birth a church or whatever, you don't become apostle of that place? Jesus had 12 of them. Why? Because they were under Jesus' authority to be what? Sent out. But this church can have apostles with authority from the higher power, having gotten a burden and a call. And then all of a sudden God says, I am commissioning you. Look at the anointing upon this person. They're an apostle. They can birth a church. They can get it started. They can organize things. They're being sent out and commissioned. That's an apostle. That's not dead today. If it is, then we're not going to birth any more churches. There's apostles out there that don't even know it. because they don't believe in themselves. But that's exactly what they are. It's basically delegated authority. In other words, whatever the apostle does or says, it's done and said with the authority of the one who sent him. That's what an apostle is. I represent God Almighty in this situation. Nehemiah stepped in to that place called Jerusalem amidst all the devil's opposition and said, I am delegated, I am authoritative, I have been given a commission by my God in heaven, and no demon in hell will stop me from my mission of restoring God's people to their former glory. And we ought to have that same heart for the church. No demon in hell. We're authorized by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to take charge, to have dominion on this planet. Adam lost it. Jesus got it back. We, the church, have God's delegated authority. We have the Word of God. We should have a burden and a fire in our heart to be sent out of these four walls and declare the kingdom of God is here. Nothing has changed from Nehemiah's plan to the plan that God has for all of us. And I hope you can relate to that, because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, again, that's an apostle. So this is what Nehemiah was in the Old Testament. We see a shadow of the apostle in the Old Testament. Again, ministers today need to understand this, because this needs to happen today. We're sent. We're not on our own mission. Jesus is our chief apostle, right? Sent by the Father, only saying and only doing, right, what the Father sent him to say and do. It's so important that I only do and say what God tells me to do on a Sunday. That's why we got to wait. That's why sometimes it's praise reports. Sometimes it's worship. Sometimes it's just word. Sometimes it's whatever. I'm not perfect, and I'm not claiming to get it all right. But, you know, I've visited a lot of churches, and I've been a lot of places, and there's not a lot of churches doing what we're doing. Orders of service, back and forth, redo, dee, da, do, da, dee, I don't know. I did it when I grew up. Oh, I'm not even going to name churches because they're brethren. I love them. But I was taught to follow an order of service, to mimic words and say them back and forth with nothing, no fire in my heart, no burden for a call, no training in apostleship, not being sent out, not being what? Trained up and equipped for works of service. It was just a religious experience. That's not what God wants you to have, is a religious experience. You need Jesus. Yeah. The Sadducees and Pharisees had religious experience. They needed Jesus. Yeah. We need Jesus. We are sent. We are not on our own mission. And this is why he carried the ultimate power of God in his life and ministry. Jesus carried the ultimate power of God in his life, God the Father in his life and ministry, because he understood that he was sent. He understood that he took the burden. He takes our burden. And all the love in the world he nailed to the cross so that you could live forever. And you know what? We're like ants on an anthill. You wouldn't die for an ant on an anthill. But if you know the God of the universe, that's like what we are to him. With one major difference. He made us in his image. So the love that he has for us, even though we're so much smaller, he's made us in his own image so that we could represent him well. And he's disappointed when we don't. We're sons and daughters. You're so elated when your sons and daughters walk according to what you have delegated to them to do. How much more God the Father of all the kingdoms of the earth and the universe when we do what he asks us to do. That's why obedience is there. It's not there because it's something that we do to earn anything. It's out of sheer love because we're sons and daughters and we have a daddy who loved us that much. He died for us so that we could come home to him. And he wants us to get what he asked us to do first and foremost on this earth to do, and that's to worship him and to love others as much as we worship God. We to love each other. Love God with all your heart and mind, right? Jesus said, and love one another. Can we just do those two things? We wouldn't have to preach anymore. Jesus carried that ultimate power and authority. The strongest thing a leader can say when he finds his place of ministry, listen, the strongest thing that a leader can say when he finds his place of ministry is, I know God sent me here. That's what I want to hear from a leader. I know God sent me here. Not that I graduated from university and I got a 4-year degree and I'm applying for a position at church so-and-so.
That's right.
Come on. Boy, it's awful quiet. Not that I got, 8 years of experience and I just thought, boy, there was a need over there, so I'm just going to go ahead and meet it. Without hearing the call and getting the burden and being sent and certified and supplied. Because then you just show up in your own little strength with all your degrees on the wall. Teresa was telling me that. I got all these degrees on my wall, and, she put it in proper perspective for me. They're just pictures on a wall. But they're more than that to me. It's a depth of understanding. It's a diligence. It's studying the scriptures to show myself approved. It represents a work ethic, a discipline, something that God called me to do so that I could equip you for works of service. So boo-hoo to you. They're not just pictures on a wall. But they don't need to be seen and they don't need to be glorified. They need to be remain humble and in the background. It's something that I know. And she knows, and now all you know. Yes, humility. Without humility, you can rub it all out. Without love, forget it. God is love. And so you could be a noisy gong preaching all about your PhD and CHT and everything else you got. But without love, it doesn't mean anything. But if you know that God sent you into a ministry, that knowledge alone should provide you with the strength to put up with all the hassles and turbulence that come from dealing with people and problems. Right, Dr. Box? If you know you've been sent and called, it doesn't matter that all you give me heartache. Or that all things begin to break down, or the church begins to lose its numbers, or it begins to look faded out, or whatever, or things begin to happen, or people are getting sick and things are happening to us. It was testified today already. Okay, whatever. I'm still God's representative, and Lord, I know you've got all things in control. If you know you've been sent, if you know you have the burden, if you know you've been called, no turbulence or hassle, no people or problems will get in your way. Because we have delegated authority from the very God of the universe. Nehemiah was certainly aware of this concept. And he asked King Artaxerxes to send him, to authorize him, and to commission him to go to Jerusalem, knowing ultimately that God was working through the earthly king. How did he know that? It's what he prayed. Folks, if you're praying stuff, don't be surprised by the answer. That's kind of what we just talked about. I'm praying for Teresa's healing. Wow, I can't believe that just happened. That's an oxymoron. Nehemiah prayed so he knew that when he got favor and he was sent with papers and he was certified and he was supplied, that didn't come from King Artaxerxes. It came because he said to his heavenly Father, empower that man to give me what I want. You need to see that when favor comes your way, trust me, the devil is working overtime with all of his cohorts to keep you miserable. So when you're getting favor, it's not coming from him, and you're not good enough to get it for yourself. It's coming from your God who loves you, who died for you, that will never leave you or forsake you. So the first part of Nehemiah's blessing, the very first part of this blessing, a three-part blessing, is being sent. Being sent. Apostolo, stelo. Apostle, getting the call, having the burden, recognizing it's from God, and then God saying, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation, baptizing them in the name of what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's all of our call, every one of us. But secondly, he was certified. Let's go a little deeper into certified. It was verse 7. And I said to the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me for the governors. That's a key word right there. Letters and governors of the provinces beyond the river, that they may allow me to pass through until I come to the Jordan, or Judah. It says, let letters be given me to the governors, that they may, another translation is convey me over, lift me over, help me get through all my obstacles. The word letters means entitlement or letter of authority. Don't leave home without it, right? If God has not given you a word for your ministry, then it's not time for you to go. If God is not giving you a word for your ministry, it's not time for you to go. You may have a burden, but you're not yet certified. Does that make sense? I've got the burden, and you're running and you're chomping at the bit. Put me in the ministry, Pastor. Put me in the ministry. You got to get certified. You got to get certified. Some people, because of the burden, run into ministry without anything effective to say because they were not certified. God did not credential them yet. They didn't get the letters. They didn't get the apostolic approval. The elders didn't come together and say, that's my man. You just said, I got the burden. There's a need. I'm going to go fill it. Well, good luck. There's plenty of needs out there. I see lots of ministries out there. People working side by side, soup lines, all these things and stuff like that. You know, and it's necessary, but God places a burden, and you know, you get mad because somebody else isn't serving on the soup line with you. Well, that's not my call. I've not been called to serve on the soup line. But you can't generalize that over all of life, because I'd say, well, I wasn't called to clean the bathroom. There are certain things in life that we're all called to. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there are certain ministries that only God can call you to. And if you're not certified by Him and you just have a burden for it and you just like it or you just want it and you head off without His certification, without His apostolic approval and of that of the elders and all those that are around you, good luck. You're on your own. You're on your own. So you need letters from the governors, the letter of authority, the word. Now, wait, folks, and God will certify you if you do have that burden. And don't move until He does. Keep on praying. In the meantime, keep on studying, right? If you're in school, keep on learning. Keep on preparing. Don't run ahead of God. And Nehemiah wanted these letters of certification for, it says, the word governors. Well, who were they? The word for governors is the word pika, and it means one who strikes terror. Captain of war. That's what a governor was. One who strikes terror, captain of war. They had authority over others, right? Governors have authority over other people. They were the strong man who sat in the gate of the region. Remember when they did business in these towns, in the old towns, sitting in the gate? These governors were the strong men that sat in the gate. He determined who entered and who exited, an individual or a group. You didn't get past and didn't get into the city unless it was approved by these governors. My question to you is, did you know that Satan also has strong men? The Bible calls them principalities. So does God. He's got strong men. He calls them apostles. Man, that was good. You need to say, amen. Amen and amen. The devil has principalities. God has apostles. Yes, folks, we're not some angels flitting around in a cloud somewhere going like this and dancing on our toes and strumming harps. God's got real men. David and his mighty men. Apostles and prophets in the church. Yes. To do heaven on earth. God planted a seed in Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God is here and it's sprouting. And how big it sprouts depends on how far you go with what you've been given. Remember, folks, the burden is the call, but the word from God is the certification or the authority. I'll say it again. The burden, the fire in your heart is the call, but the word from God is the certification or the authority. So Nehemiah was asking these governors to what? Convey him over. The word convey is the word abar, and it means to deliver in spiritual safety and security. God, deliver me safely, spiritually and physically into Jerusalem, past the opposition, and give me favor. Nothing, listen, nothing can touch the essence of who you are in Christ. Nothing can touch the essence of who you are in Christ. Let me tell you something. The demons, every time they came across Jesus, recognized him. They recognized his power, and they recognized his authority. And I am telling you as a Christian, They will recognize whether you know you've got that authority or you don't know you've got that authority. Whether you know you've got that power or whether you don't know you've got that power. Same as with Jesus. Those demons are the same. You're the same because you're little Jesuses, right? We're little gods with a little G. We're made in the image of God. He put us here to what? Demonstrate heaven on earth. We're his sons and daughters. We're part of the family of God, right? This is who we are. Now, you can lose your shirt financially. You may even be called to be a martyr, in other words, die for the cause. But the enemy can't touch the essence of who you are because you are protected by the awesome power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So though your body may fail, my inner man is renewed day by day because I know who I am in Christ. I know where I'm going. I know a place has been prepared. And even if I've got to lay down my life in the natural, it doesn't compare to the riches of glory I have in Christ Jesus. When you got that kind of attitude, God can use you. God can use you. Finally, God not only sends and certifies you as the blessings that come through the answered prayer, right? But he also becomes, lastly today, your supplier. Your supplier. So he sends you, he gives you his letter of authority, certification, and then the third blessing is that he supplies you. Nehemiah 2, 8 and 9. Look at it again. And a letter from Asaph, the keeper of the forest. He says, give me timber. Give me a letter so I can get all this material to make beams for the gates. Gates of what? Praise. And again, to the temple, to the wall, which provides what? Protection and security for the house to which I will go. Oh, wait a minute. He's asking for, keep it up there, Pam. He's asking for protection and security. He's asking for praise to be restored to the city of Jerusalem. This is spiritually speaking now, as well as physically. He's going to physically rebuild it, but he knows that's going to bring praise to the people. It's going to bring protection and God's provision to the people. But he also asks for himself. Wow, how dare him? And for the house to which I'm going to go. Daddy, build my house. And the king granted them to me because the good hand of my God was on me. Does that mean that God can grant you personal favor and blessing? That you could actually have a little money in your pocket when you go walk around? Without it going, oh, well, that's not God. I'm supposed to be a burden. Come on. When God calls, he also equips and enables. King Artaxerxes gave Nehemiah a letter which told the keeper of the forest to give him everything he needed to accomplish his purpose. Wow. Our earthly king gave him a letter that says, whatever he needs, give it to him. Would you like to be in that position? Nehemiah needed timber for the gates. We already talked about that. That represents ministry. He needed timber for the walls, and we already said security. And he needed timber, and here's the final thing I want to get across today. And he needed timber for his own house, which represented his own prosperity. Okay, hear me now. Do not think God won't take care of you personally as well. He wants you to prosper. Unless he has called you to minister through poverty, I'll say it again, unless he has put a burden in your heart, a fire in your heart, a call in your heart to minister through poverty, because there are some that are called to minister in poverty. It's a calling. Because people get witness to when you can be so happy with so little. Probably the best calling today with America, as prosperous as we've been. But here we go. He wants you to prosper. So unless you've been called to minister through poverty, quit thinking that money is evil. It is the appropriate, inappropriate, get that on the tape right, strike out the last appropriate. It is the inappropriate love of money that is evil. But money in itself can be a useful tool in God's hands and yours. So the second part of Nehemiah's provision, to wrap it up for today, for ministry, was the blessing of sending him, certifying him, and supplying him. And he will do the same for you if he gives you a burden for the ministry. Next week, we're going to see how God answered Nehemiah's prayer with his provision for the battle. We're going to see the provision that God gave Nehemiah for the battle that comes when we enter into God's ministry for us. Amen? Pam?